If you have a Bible, Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. I recited it to you just a little bit ago. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. I want to give you the address. I want you to turn to it. I want you to see where it's at. Jesus said unto them, say, Jesus said unto them. Jesus, the word, the truth. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus even said at one point, if these things I tell you weren't so, I wouldn't have told you them. Jesus is truth. He's absolute truth. And so when he declares something, it's absolute. It doesn't mean it happens instantaneously. How many of you know that? How many are aware of that? Just because he says something doesn't always mean that it's going to happen instantaneously. How many of you said you were going to do something, but you didn't do it immediately? How many of you told somebody you were going to do something for them, but it didn't happen immediately? You know, kids have a difficult time with that. And even some of us adults have a difficult time with that. Because when we find out we're going to get something that we want it when? Now. Yeah, we don't want to wait for it. We want it immediately. And we happen to live in a time in a society where things are so quick and things are so instant that we become used to gaining access to things quickly. And because of that, we become troubled or we become discouraged when things don't happen as quickly as we may think they should. But God's ways, say God's ways. Because God's ways are not our ways. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he says to everything there is a time and there is a season and there is a purpose under heaven. So we've got to trust that. Amen. We've got to trust God with that. We've got to believe in the sovereignty of God. And we've got to believe that when God says something, regardless of the time frame in which we try to plant it in, because we're good at trying to plant things in 24-hour time frames, aren't we? And God works outside of time frames. My wife tells me all the time, Sean, you work outside of time frames. She says, Sean, you do not work in time. I don't work in time. There are things I have to at times, but when it comes to God's word, when it comes to sharing things of God, it comes to preaching, it comes to praying for people, I lose all track of time. And I don't do that purposely, but I'm so focused on doing what God is intending me to do at that moment. But we become so focused on doing things in specific time frames, and so we say, God heals, and we say, well, I haven't healed. Well, to everything there is a season and a purpose. There was a woman that had an issue of blood for 13 years. 13 years. There was a man that was born blind, and he was now an adult. He lived the majority of his life blind, and the disciples asked why, and Jesus said so that God would receive glory. I don't understand all of that, George, but there was a time, and there was a purpose, and I've got to trust God in that. Are you with me? Or are you just going to still get upset when things don't happen in your time frame? We've got to trust in the timing of God, because God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows the end from the beginning. God knows everything there is to know about everything, because God is all-knowing. And we've got to trust that. And in God's timing, he makes all things beautiful. In God's timing, he makes all things complete. So Jesus said unto them, if, now he brings it to us, if you or if thou, it says in King James, New International or Living Translation may say you, if you or if thou canst believe, if you can get to the place where you can do this, then it unlocks the realm of all things becoming possible. When we're little children, we believe all things are possible. We believe we can fly. We can believe, you know, we can be superheroes. We believe all kind of silly things when we're kids. And then as we become adults, we somewhat lose our ability to believe in things that we once used to believe. But the scripture says, all things are possible to the one. There's a translation that says to the one who will take him at what he says, to that one, to that person, then it becomes. It becomes in the realm of happening. Do you believe that today? How many of you have a particular situation or circumstance in your life? I'm not going to ask you to shout it out what it is, or I'm not going to ask you to even come to the front at this moment. But you have something in your life that you need God to do something about. You need to see the hand of God move in some area, some aspect of your life. If you don't, that's great. You are in a tremendous place, and you should be really worshiping and thanking God for that. And those of you who have need or have something represented in your life where you need to see God move, whether it's whatever the problem may be, whatever the situation may be, we're not going to put a title on it today. But you have to know that God can take care of it. God can take care of it. Do you believe that? All right, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through verse 31. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through verse 31. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." So Jesus is heading his way, and these two individuals who were blind begin to cry out and scream out to Jesus, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. The blind man came to him. That's important. They recognized their need. They recognized the answer of their need. They came to him. They cried out to him. I really wonder and believe that if we really believed he would do it, would we cry out to him? Would we cry out to him with the desperation that these two blind men cried out to him? Would we be willing to cry out loudly in the middle of a worship service, "God, I need you to heal my eyes. God, I need you to touch my liver. God, I need you to heal my kidneys. God, I need you to touch this cancer in my body. God, I need you to heal my marriage. God, I need you to deliver my child. God, I need you." We've lost somehow our willingness to cry out to God. We say things like, "I've got to get this fixed. I need to fix this." Do you realize there are things in our life we cannot fix? We cannot do it. It's above and beyond the realm of our ability in the realm of the flesh to be able to do certain things in and of ourselves. These two men knew they couldn't cause their own sight to come back. There was no medical profession at the time that could cause their sight to get any better. But they heard of this one, this miracle worker, this one called Jesus, the one that some even called out to be the Messiah, the very Son of the living God. And they began to cry out because they had heard some testimony. They had heard some word. They had heard some things that he had done in not only their town, but in surrounding towns. And when they heard that he was in the vicinity, they began to cry out to him. Because they recognized that he was the only one that could take care of that which they had need of. And they cried out to him for mercy. And they came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe you that I am able to do this?" So they're calling out to him, and Jesus turns around and looks at them and says, "But do you believe that I am able to do what you're asking me to do?" Has anyone ever asked you to do something and you were not able to do it? It was not in your ability to do it? You know, if you're going to build a house, I'm the last one you want to call. If you got a leaky pipe and you need it fixed, I am the last one to call for that. I could point you to numerous people who would be very good to call about that, but I would not be the man. And I understand that. I would not be the one to direct you in the right pathway to be able to fix that particular problem. I'm not the guy. I'm not going to go to Florida and I'm not going to fix that roof. I am not the guy to do that. Not that I wouldn't be willing to help, but I am not the guy to do that. But I am the guy that can stand in front of God's people and say there's a need and help to provide the resources to get it done. I'm the guy that's God called and he's given me many other talents and abilities, but fixing things just aren't them. Usually when I try to fix something that's broken, it becomes extremely unusable after that. If it's broken and I lay my hands on it, then only God, then only God could take care of it. And you know, I believe, sometimes I really think I can do it too. You know, Susan and I were a very young married couple. We had just bought our first home. It was just the picture perfect. I mean, you couldn't picture anything better than this. You know, just vision this in your mind for one. Just a real nice, clean little neighborhood, a little white ranch style house, two bedrooms, eat-in kitchen, a living room that if you stretched out your legs, you touched the other wall, and a bathroom that you couldn't have laid down. Because if you put your head at the tub, your legs would have been in the hallway. Am I kidding? But when we went and we walked through it, and we thought all of heaven had opened and the angels declared, hallelujah, this was our dream home. We were going to make a family there. This was going to be it. And then after we bumped into each other so much after the first few years, we realized, my God, why have you forsaken us? The house was so small, we could barely move. We ended up having three babies in that house. And it came to the point where we had to go buy a sleeper sofa, and our bedroom became our living room. How many have ever been there? We had to make our bed up every day into the couch so we could sit on the couch. Susan said to me one day, the sink's leaking. And I said, oh, I should be able to fix that. You know, I've heard there's little washers in there, and if you take that apart and put a new washer in there, I can do that. So I go over and I unscrew the handle. I get my wrench on the, what do you call that thing that goes in there? What's it called? A stem? I put the wrench on that stem, which is the valve. I crank that thing open. It shot up in the air and hit the ceiling, and water splashing all over my face. I'm telling you, it looked like a Three Stooges movie. Water's going everywhere, and I'm trying to put the thing back. I'm grabbing the thing, trying to put it back in the hole. I'm grabbing rags, trying to stuff them in the hole, and water's just... I'm hollering, Susan, shut the water off, shut the water off. She's like, where's the water shut off? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know. There were no water shutoffs underneath the sink either. They didn't have them there. I had to run down the basement. I'm shutting off every valve I could find. Till finally I hear my beautiful wife holler, it stopped. And I'm thinking, my God, what do I do now? What a mess it was. But I thought I could do it. We didn't have YouTube back then. How many of you are pre-YouTube? We couldn't just Google it, how to change the stem, you know? I just thought you just take it out. I didn't know that the water would shoot up out of there if you took that thing out. I didn't know. But I learned very quickly I'm not very good with plumbing. One day there was a pipe that needed soldered. I can do that. Oh, Lord. I tried to solder that pipe for 5 hours. I said to my wife, it shouldn't take that long. I really don't think it should take that long. It kept leaking and it kept leaking and it kept leaking. And bless her heart, she'd always encourage me. Well, Sean, there must be something wrong with the pipe. 32 years, she's never said to me, Sean, there must be something wrong with you. November 16th will be 32 years. She's never said, Sean, there must be something wrong with you. But I can tell at certain times now when I say I'm going to try to fix something, she'll say, don't you think you should just call someone? It And, you know, usually at that point, you know, after 32 years, I'm beyond the point of trying to impress her with my abilities to fix things because I've proven I can't. And so we usually call. God has gifted me with many brothers and sisters who are way more talented in fixing things than I am. And I have learned how to do a lot of things, though, over the years. It's funny. Your dad said to me, boy, you've come a long way. You've learned how to do some things. I said, Ron, all I did was screw a screw in the wall to hold up the fire extinguisher. He said, yeah, but when you came here, you wouldn't have been able to do that. Yeah, if it comes to screwing thing in a wall, I'm your man, but, you know. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. The blind men cried out to him. You got to know who to go to. Said all that to simply say that. You got to know who to go to. You got to know who to go to. Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Yes. Is your answer today yes? Do you believe today that he is able to do whatever that thing is, whatever that situation is in your life? Then he did something. Then touched he their eyes. He did something. See, sometimes our faith requires action. Sometimes our faith requires an action. Sometimes something has to accompany our faith. They said, will you heal us? Jesus said, do you believe I can? They said, yes, and then he did something. He responded. He responded to their faith. He will respond to your faith. He touched their eyes, saying, according to my faith, you have been whole. No, that's not what he said. Because it wasn't about his faith. Because he was God in the flesh. He could do all things. He said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. What you believe, let it be unto you. And the Bible records that their eyes were opened. Why were their eyes opened? One, they cried out to him. They recognized him as Lord. They asked him. He responded to their need. And the need was met. And then Jesus immediately charged them. He admonished them. He said, see that no man knows what just happen here. But they went out and they told everybody. They went out and told everybody. It's interesting to me how they were moved to go out and tell everybody versus how people today, God can touch, heal, deliver, do miraculous things, and we don't say much about it. We keep it to ourselves. We may share with our spouse, may with somebody we're close to. Do you think if you had that desperation of a need and God met it, that you would run out and tell people? I want you to think about that in the confines of when you attend service and God does something miraculous. Do you go and tell people what God did? How many of you have told people about the $23,000 miracle? Well, about 10 of you, 12, about the $23,000 miracle. How many of you will tell somebody this week about the $23,000 miracle? That was a miracle. You got to tell somebody what God did. That God took a small handful of group of people and he multiplied and he created a great miracle to those who had need. These men had tremendous need. They couldn't see. They were blind. They were willing. Are we willing today to call out to God, to cry? We've become too proper at times to cry out to God. We don't want any, not only, but we become too prideful at times too, Christopher. We become too prideful. We don't want people to know we have problems. How many of you here today want everybody to know you have problems? How many of you want everybody to think your life is perfect? We've got some pride in us that we've got to let go. Well, if I go to the altar, then everybody's going to know. If he's asking, if he's bringing out a specific thing and then I respond to that, then everybody's going to know I got that issue or I got that problem. These men weren't so concerned with that. They had an issue and they knew he was the only one that could deal with it, and they were willing to cry out to him. Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. God is our, all through the night I kept waking up with this verse coming out of me all night long, over and over. And when I tell you, I must have woke up every 30 minutes throughout the night, Ethan, reciting this verse instantly. As soon as I wake up, this verse is coming out of me instantly, all night long last night. God is our refuge and our strength. God is our protection. God is our shelter. God is our safe place. God is the place that we can go and be safe from everything else that's going on around. And he's our strength. And when we are weak, he is strong. So we can go to him, and not only will he protect us, but he will strengthen us. Not only will he protect us, but he will strengthen us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble, just as he was with the two blind men. He opened their eyes. He was their refuge. He was their strength. He was their help in the time of trouble. And if he is truly the same yesterday, today, and forever, will he not also be your refuge, your strength, and your ever-present help in the time of trouble? How about God tells us in his word not to fear? Why? For that very reason. Why do we not have to fear? Why do we not have to live in fear? Why do we not have to live in anxiety? Because God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our ever-present help. Therefore, what for? Because he is my refuge and my strength, I will never have to fear. And then he goes on to say this, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, through the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Regardless of what happens in the natural realm, mountains can be shaken, oceans can overflow, storms can rage, fires can blaze, but God is our refuge and our strength, and he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Do you believe that today? Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say to the Lord, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. See, when you're going through the hard place, when you find yourself in the difficult space, are you crying out and saying, God, you are my refuge. God, you are my shelter. God, in you do I put my trust in spite of this thing, regardless of that thing. I'm going to put my confidence in you. I'm going to put my trust in you. And I'm going to believe today that regardless of whatever this thing is, God, all things are possible because you are the God of the impossible. See, that's the mentality we as God's children should have. And we should not allow nothing else to creep in to cause us to believe anything else than that. That's why he says casting down imagination and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's why when a thought comes in, it ain't going to work. God's not going to come through. God's not going to deliver you. God's not going to heal you. God's not going to meet this need. This isn't going to work. You're going to be defeated. That thought is contrary to God, because God calls you victorious. God says you're an overcomer. God says he's your place. He's your stronghold. I hear people saying things like this today. She's my person. He's my person. You know who you need? Jesus. He's your person. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. We rely too much on people. We put too much in people. We've got to know that God is our refuge and our strength. Yes, he puts people in our life that we can build relationships with, we can find safe place with, that we can find comfort in, that can we can help strengthen one another. But ultimately, God alone is our refuge. And if you try to put that on a person, a place, or a thing, it will fail. If you try to put your refuge and your safety in a thing, in a person, or in a place, it will fail. It is in God alone. He is your refuge. He's your fortress. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the day of trouble, how many have ever had a day of trouble? How many ever just had a day you thought to yourself, I just wish I could pull the blankets up over my head? Well, I'm talking now, huh? Did you ever just have a day of trouble? Jesus said, in this life you're going to have... How many like that? We don't like that part. I don't like that part. I wish it had said, in this life, everything's just going to be great. How many are with me? Everything's just always going to work out for you. Nothing ever works out for me. How many of you have ever said, nothing ever works out for me? It always works out for other people, but never me. In the day of trouble, He, God, will conceal me in His tabernacle. God will conceal me. Why? Because He's your refuge. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. In other words, on a firm foundation. The psalmist said, David said, in that day, God will conceal me. God will keep me. We have a testament of that when Jesus, they took him out of the city and they were going to stone him and throw him over a cliff. And the Bible says he just turned and walked through the midst of them. He just turned and walked through the midst of them. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me. He walked right through the midst of those who were looking to stone and throw him over the cliff. He just walked right back through them. They drove him out. They pushed him out. They took him out to the edge of the cliff. They were going to throw him over. And all of a sudden, miraculous, he just turned around and walked right back through them. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. There's a crowd of people probably bigger than the number that's here today. And imagine you all pushing me out to the edge of a cliff, and I just turn around and walk right back through you, and not one of you see me. I think you would have to chalk that up as God would have concealed me. Huh? He walked right through the midst of them, and they didn't even recognize that he went out from them. He will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will put my feet on a solid place. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear or the awe or the reverence. In the awe of the Lord, in the reverence of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence. There is a strong confidence. And his children, the Lord's children, will have refuge. They will have shelter. They will have a safe place. Because he is God. Have any of you ever experienced that? My wife will tell you without any uncertain terms, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe with God all things are possible. I believe God for things because he's God. He's God. How can I not? That's the way I look at it. Some people look, well, but that's a big thing. That's a hard thing. That's a difficult. Those two men were blind. I mean, that's, you know, blind. What if it doesn't happen? You know, what if you pray for them and then they don't get healed? And then, you know, man, you're going to look bad. And I don't look at it that way. Because I'm not the healer in the first place. He is. I'm nothing more than the conduit of his mercy and his grace. I'm nothing more than the mere conduit of his love here on the earth. So if God says it, I just simply believe it. And I trust in the Lord enough to do whatever God says to do. Take an offering for that church in Florida that was devastated. Oh, we won't probably receive enough to even meet their first week's budget, let alone 2 weeks' budget. And what if they have damage? What good is that little amount going to do? But with God, all things are possible. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, yeah, Pastor, but I could have used that $23,000. I could have really used that money. That money could have really done. Well, I want to tell you something. If you planted a seed in that offering to bless those who were hurting, my God says, when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that he will meet all of our need according to his riches and glory. So if I have need in my life, I turned my attention from my own need to plant into someone else's need. Watch God do a miracle in their life. How foolish would I believe that God couldn't do a miracle in my life if he did a miracle in their life? Do you get where you get what I'm saying? But I got to hold on to what I've got, because if I give what I got, then I'll be less. I won't have as much. No, if you give what you got, if God tells you to do something, your time, your talent, your ability, your resources, whatever it is, sometimes just a kind word. You don't realize what a kind word will do to people. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Share your faith. Share what God has done. How it could speak into the life of someone who's going through a very difficult place or a hardship in their life. And to see what God has done in your life will stir them to believe that they can hold on. Because if God can do it for you, he can do it for them as well. Amen? We've got to believe God. We've got to trust God that God can do anything. For in the day of trouble, my God, he will conceal you. Do you believe that today? In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence. A strong confidence. I want to ask you for a moment to just take a moment of inventory in your life and ask yourself, do you have that strong confidence in the Lord? That he's your rock. That he's your refuge. That he's your provision. That he's your shelter. That he's your provider. That everything you have need of is within his ability. Do you believe it today? Do you have that strong confidence? Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord, say the name of the Lord, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The righteous, see, the strong tower is a place reserved for the righteous. The strong tower is a place reserved for the righteous. The righteous run therein and are safe. Because he is your refuge. Do you have that confidence today? Do you have that assuredness in your spirit today? I believe by the time you leave here this morning, your faith and confidence in him being your refuge and your strength, your provision and your provider, your healer, your deliverer, your restoration, your salvation, you'll believe today when you leave this place that in God, everything you have need of can be met. He's a good, good father. Isaiah 25:4. Isaiah 25:4. For you have been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. Have you ever been in a rainstorm where it's just pelting down? How many of you have ever felt like that's the way that life is hitting you? Just like boom, 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 boom. Have you ever been there? One thing after the other. One stress after the other. One anxiety after the other. One problem after another. One stress after another. One sickness after another. It just keeps piling on and piling on and piling on. The word says you have been a defense for the helpless. If you've ever felt helpless, he's your defense. And that's where you need to go. You need to go to the one who is your defense. A defense for the needy. I thought about I thought about the church that we took up the offering for. They were helpless and needed a defense. They were needy and in distress, and he was their defense. He was a refuge in the midst of their storm. And he used you. He used you to be that blessing. He used you to speak into their lives that there are still good people. There are still people that love God with all their heart. There are still people that love one another. There are still people that care. Did you ever just need to know someone cared? Did you ever just need to know that there was somebody that was just standing with you? Did you ever just need to know that someone was there? God is always there. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He said, I'll always be there. And I thank God that not only is he there, but I thank God for those people that he brings into our pathway. I thank God for those that he brings into our lives that will stand with us. Do you have somebody that will stand with you? Do you have somebody that has stood with you? Do you have somebody that's been with you through the storm? Do you have somebody that's been with you even when you haven't deserved it? Do you have somebody that has stayed by your side even when you've been miserable and you've not even been easy to love, but they've stood with you anyway and they've loved you through the storm? Have you loved somebody through a storm? Those are valuable people in your life. Those who will stand beside you in the midst of the storm. Those who will go with you through the storm. And those who will nurture you and love on you and encourage you through the midst. Those are valuable relationships. How many of you thank God for those relationships? I thank God every day for those people in my life who walk with me through the difficult places and through the good places of this life. But make no mistake, our trust must be in the Lord. As much as we love these relationships, as much confidence as we put in one another, we must know without a shadow of a doubt we have to put our trust in God, and God is our safe place. Because people will fail, and we will fail each other at times, even with the best of intentions. Who here has never failed anyone in this life? Who here has never disappointed anyone? We've all disappointed someone at one. We don't set out to do that. Well, maybe out of spite, maybe you did, but hopefully you grew out of that. He is our refuge and our strength. Because in the day of desperation, in the day of nothing can be done, no one can open my eyes, no one can cause this blindness to go away, no one can meet this need, no one can supply that need, nobody can do this. We don't have the ability, we don't have the resources, but God who is our refuge, and God who is our strength. Zechariah 9:12. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. I heard a preacher many years ago preached a sermon, and he entitled it, Double for Your Trouble. Double for Your Trouble. God restores back to us. Even when the enemy comes in and steals, even when the flood comes in and seems to wipe out, God restores back to his children. God will not allow his children to be desolate. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Who do you take refuge in today? Who do you look to meet the need today? My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Oh God, you are my rock. The sovereign Lord, the great provider. When Israel needed a leader, what did God do? He raised up Moses. When they needed water in the desert, what did he do? He supplied it from a rock. When they needed food in the midst of their wilderness journey, wandering, what did he do? He gave them manna from heaven. When man needed a Savior from their sins, God sent his only begotten Son to die on an old wooden cross on a place called Calvary, so that we could gather in places like this today, and we could put our hope and our confidence in the one true living God, believing above all things that he is able to do above and beyond what we could ask, think, or even imagine. And yeah, the hand of God is even there in the time of your affliction to do that which you have the greatest need of. He's provided over and over again, and we have record and recordings all throughout the Word of God how he has provided for the suffering of his saints, for the needs of his children. Over and over and over and over have we seen Philippians 4:19 made manifest in our lives. Over and over and over again have we seen Philippians 4:19 throughout the Word of God when Paul wrote, "But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory." That's my stance. I take a Philippians 4:19 stance a lot in my life. When I need provision, when I need help, I take a Philippians 4:19 stance. But my God. But God. The doctor rings the phone, but God. The bill collectors are calling. The mail's piling up, but God. The relationship, but God. The finances, but God. The health, but God. The wayward child, but God. The difficult relationship, but God. But God. But God. I lost my job and I need a job, but God. Not only can God give you a new job, he can give you a better job and even a higher paying job. God can give you an idea to start a business. And before long, you can end up being a business owner because God planted a seed in your heart and you were willing to trust him for it. We've seen it right here in our own midst. We've seen business after business after business over 17 years conceived in a heart and come to pass. We've seen situations where people said, "You have no qualification for this. You don't have the education for this. You don't have the finances for this. You don't have the skill for this. You don't have the training for this. But we're going to give it to you anyway." But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You don't have what you should have. You can't do what you need to do. But God. But God. But God. We have seen God do it over and over and over. We've seen people who own a business go to someone else and say, "I want to help you buy my business. I want to help you buy my business. But my God shall supply all my need." How many have seen God be your provision over and over and over again? But man, when we get into that deep place of suffering, when we've been kind of in the waiting room, how many in the waiting room right now? You're just waiting, just waiting. Have you ever been in a waiting room? Waiting for the wife to give birth to the baby, waiting for the doctor to come out and give the report, waiting at the bedside of an elderly parent, waiting for the doctor to come and give a report. Over 32 years, I've been in a lot of waiting rooms. I've been in a lot of waiting rooms. I've stood in a lot of bedsides. I've sat with a lot of people over 32 years. And God has never once failed to be our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in the time of trouble. Because it is he who we put our trust and our confidence in. They're not going to live. Okay, God, but what do you say? Because you are the one who picked up some dirt and breathed into it and created a man. So what do you say? If you can take a handful of clay and breathe life into it and call it a man, then what do you say? See, that's Chris, that's where I live. That's what I believe. That's the deep confidence that I have. God, what do you say? God, what do you say? In the waiting room of life, where it becomes so desperate at times and it seems endless upon day after day after day, and it even appears that maybe, just maybe, just maybe, God ran out of miracles. Maybe God's just given up on the human race, and maybe God's just, you're going to be the one, you are the one that God is going to stop doing things for. We may not say that, but we act like that sometimes, don't we? We may feel that God's done all he's going to do and he's not going to do any more for us. But he promised. And the Bible says, he who has promised is faithful. So if you find yourself in the valley of affliction, I've been there. If you find yourself in the valley of need, I've been there. If you find yourself in the valley of want, I've been there. My word, I just, you know, this past week, I just, even in some quiet times, and never even said anything to Susan about it, but there were times I just looked over my life and thought, God, how good you are. God, how good you are. Because how the enemy tried to destroy me from the moment of conception. How the enemy tried to destroy my life from the moment of conception. How he tried to strip my life. How he tried to destroy me time after time after time again. But how God was my refuge and my strength. How God was my ever-present help in the time of trouble. How I've been in the waiting room of life. And I've cried out to him, Rhonda, God. God, will you do this? And sometimes the simple response was simply, can you believe? Yes, God, I can believe. And I've seen his hand over and over and over and over and over again in my life to do the miraculous and the divine and the supernatural. I've watched God use me in situations and circumstance to speak into people's lives. I've been in a restaurant eating dinner and God speak to my heart to get up and go to a table and say something to a husband and wife. And he wouldn't tell me what to say till I got up. I'm sitting there in another state at a table eating dinner and God says to me, get up and go. This was a number of years ago. We had a board retreat. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, okay, God, tell me what you want to say to him. And he said, just get up and go over there. And I said, well, but if you could just let me know what you want me to say to them, it would sure make me feel a whole lot more comfortable, because I don't want to go over there and be like Porky Pig, but like, but I don't know what to say. You got to, you know, a little something, just a nugget, you know. Sometimes God does, he says, go. And so I get up from the table and I go over and a couple sitting there talking to each other and I said, excuse me. I said, I know you don't know me. I don't know you. I said, I'm sitting here eating. I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm a pastor. We're here with our board. And I, as we're talking, God spoke to my heart and he told me to come over here and tell you that that very thing you're contemplating doing right now, God said it's him. He's in it. Do it. And I'm thinking, okay, God, is there any more? You got any more? That was it. And they just looked at me and I said, that's all I can tell you. Because that's all I got. You know? Do you ever think, you got any more? No, that's it. That's all I got. God said the thing that you're contemplating do it. He's in it. I said, does that make any sense to you? And they both just looked at each other and they looked at me and they were like, you have no idea. The husband said, we're sitting here right now discussing, should we enter into this business arrangement or not? And we're waiting for the phone to ring. We're sitting here right now waiting for the phone to ring from the person on the other end, whether or not we're going to enter into this business deal with that person. And you come over here to our table and tell us, God said, do it. He's in it. I said, that's all I got. I got to go back over to eat my dinner. And they both just looked like. I no more walked away and I heard a ring. I turned around and he had the phone to his ear. To everything there is a time, a season. They were sitting there weighing the balance. They were in the waiting room of life, Laura. They were in the waiting room. And they were weighing in balance. Do we do it or don't we? In that moment of life, that decision was going to change everything. It was going to change everything. And they were talking, it appeared to me anyways, as if they were finding a way to talk their way out of it. They weren't sure they should do it. And God says, you got to go over there and tell them to do it. That was it. It was just that simple. Just tell them to do it. I've watched God move over and over and over again. I've sat in that waiting room and said with families, we know what man has said, but what does God say? What does God say? I'm going to get into this a lot more with you next week. But I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you going into this week. As you face the situations and circumstance that life brings your way, can you believe that God can do anything? Just as he did. What did he do? He opened the eyes of these two blind men. He opened blind eyes. You say, well, how's that got significance to my... Because I'm hoping today that he opens the blinders off of your eyes. So that today you can now see that he can do all things. That you can, moving forward from today, can believe more than just in the concept that he can do it. Because there are people that believe in the concept he can do it, but don't actually believe that he will do it. There are people that believe he can do it, but don't believe that he will do it. But my God may supply. No. My God shall supply all our need. Let's pray. I'm going to invite the worship team back to the platform. We're going to pray and ask God to strengthen your faith today, to trust him and believe. And we're going to sing our final song. And good Lord, it's only 10 minutes to 12. Let's go back to the word. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, will you stand with us this morning? Heavenly Father, I pray today for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, as we have a number of folks away today, I pray as they turn into the website and listen to this message over the internet, they'll be encouraged and strengthened. Lord, from those who may tune in all over the world, as people do, we pray, God, that this message will strengthen and encourage their hearts. I pray, Lord, for those who are here today, Lord, that you will have spoken richly into our lives, that we will have been encouraged, that we will have been strengthened, that in the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of the waiting room of life that we sometimes find ourselves in, when the hour seems the darkest and the problem seems the worst, that we can put our hope, our confidence, and our trust in you because you are trustworthy. Your word is truth, absolute truth, and when you declare a thing, it comes to pass. It may not come to pass instantly, but your timing is perfect. You do things in your timing. Sometimes we may sit for a day in the waiting room. Sometimes we may sit weeks or months or even longer. But in the time of our waiting room experience, I pray, Lord, that we will learn to trust you, that we will meditate on your word, that we will learn to believe that with God all things are possible, that we will learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, that we will acknowledge you as our provider, as our rock, as our refuge, as our salvation, as our healer, as our deliverer, as our rewarder and our rebuilder and our restorer. Lord, that we will put our hope and our confidence and our trust in you and in you alone. You're a good, good father. You're a good father. And today we bless your name. And today we offer up to you a variety of situations and circumstances that have been brought into this facility today. Lord, probably just about everyone that's walked in here today has something in their heart, something in their life that they need to trust you for, that they need to believe you for, that they've needed their faith to be encouraged, they've needed their faith to be strengthened. And today I pray, Father, right here, right now, in this place, that they have found that in you, their rock and their refuge, their ever-present help in the time of trouble. Because, Lord, the mere fact that you have brought them here to this place today, and the simple fact that this message has been the message they've heard, is the comfort alone that they need to know that you see, that you know and you understand. That you brought them here, you laid this on my heart, that they can walk out of this place today knowing it's going to be all right. Because if my God before me, who can be against me? To have that firm confidence that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And if it is in the fire I must stand today, then you will stand beside me in the fire. If it is the lion's den that I must go in today, then you will be beside me in the lion's den. If my back seems and my life seems like I'm backed against a wall, then you will make a way. Because you are a way maker. And that's the strong confidence that we have today. And I pray that you will seal that in the hearts and in the minds of each one who have heard these words today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Strengthen, I pray. Comfort, I pray, the weary heart and the troubled mind. Heal, deliver, and set free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, will you sing with us this morning?